So your Bible trivia comes from a question that I was asked from the week before last, this bulletin. Y'all remember, you've seen this church bulletin the week before last? I think it was President's Day. Well, inside of it, over in the corner, it says, "You can because God can." It says, the next time you feel like God can't, just remember, Abraham and Sarah were too old. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a speech problem, and it keeps on going down. Well, it was asked, where does it say that Leah was ugly? Did y'all catch that? It says Leah was ugly. It was in your church bulletins. Did y'all catch that? John's like, no, I missed that. Well, I missed it too, to my wife. You good? Need some water? I got candy. So my wife brought it to my attention. I said, well, God has never called anybody physically ugly in the Bible that I know of. So where did we get that from? So when your wife asks you a question, guess what you get to go do? You get to go study. So there's a verse in the Bible, Genesis 29 and verse 17. Genesis 29 and verse 17. It doesn't say ugly, though. It says it's tender-eyed. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. So I had to look up what tender-eyed was. It could be cross-eyed, but it could be simply that one eye was larger than the other. Men, by definition, even in the Proverbs, it gives us warning about the eyes of a woman. Men have a bad thing about looking at the eyes of women. That's how we judge, based on what the Bible says. So I don't know why they use the word ugly, but after research and stuff, the Bible says that she was tender-eyed. And the implication of being weak and one-eyed or slightly offset. There was a different weakness, and when it came to look at Leah's eyes, they were contrast with Rachel's, who is described as looking beautiful. Sometimes people have an eye that is slightly crossed, or sometimes the eye is bigger or slightly bulging. Whatever the case, her eyes was not as attractive and are mentioned as a determinant to her looks. Men are often drawn to the eyes of a woman and are thus warned, beware, Proverbs 6, 24 through 26 says, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue and a strange woman, lust not after her beauty and thy heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. So I had to, my wife questioned it, so I questioned it. But an interesting fact I did learn between Rachel and Leah, if you study, Rachel was a more beautiful woman, but Leah was more blessed of God. If you read and you study everything, Judah was her son. Who did the line of Christ come from? And in the end of Genesis, where Jacob was buried, guess who he was buried by? He was buried by Leah, not by Rachel. Just some gee whiz knowledge from you. But I did not catch that in the bulletin, so my wife made me do some studying. You're welcome. It's the first time it's happened. Well, the preacher was in his pulpit one Sunday morning. He was a preaching away. And he was preaching on the fact that God was everywhere and in everything. And we know that that's a truth fact. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God. And he was preaching. He says, well, you can draw from God from everything. You can draw from God while you're fishing in the beautiful rivers. You can get a message. He says, you can draw from God while you're walking and get a message from God in the skies. He says, you can even draw from God the grass as it grows in your yard. Because God is simply beautiful in everything. Well, he ended his message on Sunday. The next day, he was mowing his yard on Monday afternoon. The deacon drove by. He stopped his car, rolled down the windows. He said, "That's right, Pastor. Cut them sermons short. Cut them sermons short." Y'all don't get that, that's okay. My wife didn't get it either, so it's all right. Y'all pray for it. I tried four times to explain it to her, and I couldn't get it there, so y'all pray for her. Or pray for me, I don't know. I didn't have enough words to get her to understand what I was trying to tell her. We're going to look at the story of Samson tonight, if you can find your places in Judges. Chapter 17. Judges chapter 17. It's going to take just a little time. We're going to look at... The title of my message tonight is called "The Baldness of Sin." The baldness of sin. Actually, it says 17. I don't know why it says 17. Let's try chapter 16. Judges chapter 16 and verse 16, if we'll stand. Judges 16 and verse 16. 17 is about Micah. I don't know why I said that. I guess I should have kept reading. Judges chapter 16 and verse 16. And the Word of God said, "And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said to her, 'There hath not come a razor upon my head, for I've been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak, and be like any other man.' And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, 'Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart.' Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she had made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, 'The Philistines be upon thee, Samson.' And he awoke out of his sleep and said, 'I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself.' And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him, and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with the fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven." Father God, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we love you. We thank you so much for your many blessings and your mercies that are renewed every day and are afresh. We thank you for our salvation and for your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we lift up the FBI and the store night tonight, Lord. May they have sweet time and sweet fellowship in your name. Help them to learn, Lord, as they continue to study about Jacob tonight. Lord, be with us in here, Lord. We pray for the lost that may be in the house. Either here or back there, Lord, may they be saved tonight. Lord, we pray for our hearts. How we need that rod of chastisement sometimes, Lord, to get us going in the right direction. Lord, we need your presence. We need your understanding, your guidance. Lord, hide me behind the cross. May your words alone come out. And Lord, may everything said and done bring honor and glory to you. Lord, it's in the Lamb's name that we pray these things. Amen. We're very familiar with the story of Samson as a strong man of the Bible. He had great strength and did many feats. He was different than the other judges, for he was born to be a judge. His mother received a message from an angel telling of his birth and how she was to raise him. Then again, the angel coming to the mother and to the father and once again gave instructions of how Samson was to be raised as a Nazarite. The definition of Nazarite is separated unto, or consecrated. That means given to God for a purpose. Samson was born to be a servant of God. He was born to be a judge of Israel. The others were chosen. This one was born. We find that if you read the story, Israel has been in the hand of the Philistines 40 years. We know that 40 is the time of awaiting. You study your Bible and you find that the Spirit of the Lord came on Samson, they say, more than any other in the Bible. I counted how many times it was for Samson. I didn't get a chance to go through every other person to verify the fact. But that is what it said. The Spirit of the Lord came on him more times than any other, even including David. We find that he's also a smart man. How he figured out how to catch 300 foxes. If you think about a fox, how wily and how skittish they are. He was able to catch them. And not only to catch them, but to bind a brand, a torch of fire between two tails of each. And then to set them free to burn down crops and vineyards. We find that he's a smart man. A strong man. We find in chapter 15 and 13 that he loves his own people. For his own people came after him and bound him and turned him over to the Philistines. And all he asked was them not to hurt him because he loved his people. He did not want to hurt his own. So he cared for them. He was a judge for 20 years. After the battle of the Philistines, where he slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass, there was a 20-year period of peace. And then we find Samson gets himself in trouble with a woman named Delilah. I want to pull out two things. The two women that he got with, one was a Philistine woman and one was a harlot. And in both times, the Bible says he saw them. We're going to get to it in the message in a minute, but the first thing they took away from him was his what? His sight. Judges 16, we find Samson has committed a sin. The Nazarite vow was that he was to have no wine. He was not to shave his head. And not to be near a dead person. But I want to tell you that the power was not in the 7 locks of his hair. We understand that the 7 is the finished work of Christ. The finished work of God. In 7 days and completed and he rested on the 7th. We understand that is a wonderful picture of how God was complete in Samson. But his power was not in his hair. His power was in the Spirit of God that came upon him. If you look and read the story, every time he went to do something, you find that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Why? Because he was consecrated to God. It was because of his Nazarite vow that he had taken. Yes, his hair was long. Yes, there were 7 locks. But his power was not in his hair. The power was in the vow that he had made to God. We can have the same power today. He was from birth consecrated to God. His mom and his dad vowed that they would not do this. Even in her own womb when she had Samson. Vowed not to eat certain things and not to drink certain things so that when he come out, he would be pure and right for God. We can raise our own children in the same manner, dedicated and concentrated to God. We have people to come up here and dedicate their kids to God. That's a vow. What are they saying? They're saying the same thing that Samson's dad and mom did, that they're going to do the best job they can to raise them in the Word of God. That's what Samson's parents did for him. It doesn't take an angel of the Lord coming down to deliver a message for us to do the same thing for our children. We can make the same kind of vow to God today that we promise Him that we'll do our best and absolute to raise our children in accordance with His Word, to give them over to Him so that they can be used for His purpose. That's what Samson's parents did for him. They raised him to be a Nazarite from birth. Samson had no personal strength of his own. He was human just like you and I. All their strength come from God and His walk with Him. The Spirit of the Lord was his power. He went to fight the Philistines. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He rent the lion as a kid. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Every time he went to do a feat, it was because God was with him. It was not because he stood by himself. Every time we go to do a feat, it's because we need to have God with us. Because we cannot do it in our own power and our own might. There's six things I would like to point out. Because Samson sinned that night, he had his head shaved. And he lost the power of God. Not because he lost his hair, because he lost his vow with God. He lost the promise that he had given to God not to shave his head. That's what was broken. But the baldness of sin caused the power of God to disappear from his life. And the baldness of sin in our lives does the same thing. Number one, the baldness of sin deprives us of spiritual strength and comfort. Every unconfessed sin will do two things. It will weaken the soul and deprive it of its vigor and force. It will darken the soul and deprive it of its comfort and peace. Samson's sin caused him to lose his strength. He says that he was bound. Well, he'd been bound before. Bound before had nothing to do with him. He could easily break him. Bound before, it was just a pop of the wrist and he was out. But because of his sin, he had no strength. Sin bound him shut, and he had no power. Sin held him captive, and he could not go anywhere. Just like it holds us captive today, we're in sin, it holds us in the bounds. And it holds us shut. And then they strapped on fetters of brass, and they hinged him to a grinding mill. We get unshackled from sin the day we get saved. But you fall back into the depths of sin like Samson did and get shackled back in it, you're stuck until you repent. Samson could not loosen himself, for he had no strength of his own. He was left tied to fetters to grind day in and to grind day out. Why? Because he could not free himself. Just like we can't free ourselves from sin. We can get ourselves in it, just like Samson did. But we can't get ourselves out of it. Day in and day out, he grinded and grinded. And a beaten path, around and around in a mill, chained to it for the pleasure of the Philistines. Sin separates us from the spiritual power of God, and without it, we can do nothing. Number two, the baldness of sin weakens the soul and deprives us of its strength. An unconfessed lust will drink up the spirit and all the vigor of the soul, and weaken it for all duties, hindering the grace needed for reading scriptures, praying, and gaining the spiritual benefits that come from doing these things. The baldness cuts the line of communication with God. Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." It cuts the cord that supplies our daily nourishment. You can pray all you want. You can scream out loud, "Lord God, where are you?" But He cannot hear you. Sin separates us from Him. Where once we had just a bow of our head and He was there at our beck and call, sin cuts that away. Sin closes the door that was once open for communication. But no longer He can hear us. You have things that are not being answered. Prayers are no longer being granted as used to be. Ask God to search our hearts. He will not hear us until we repent. John 14:26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach us all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. When we sin, we have trouble understanding God's Word. When we sin, we have trouble understanding God's will, because we have cut the umbilical cord to God. We have shut off His supply of knowledge and wisdom. We have cut everything away from Him that He desires to give us. The understanding and everything else is gone. That's what sin does. It makes us bald to Him. Can you not interpret God's Word like you used to? Are you having trouble in your studies? Maybe your mind drifts more than it should. Maybe your prayers are harder to pray. Maybe because God's not hearing you. Lamentations 3:20 and 26 says, "My soul hath them still of remembrance, and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." When you have sin in your heart, you can't go to Him every morning and have His mercies renewed. You can't go to Him every morning and have your strength renewed for the day's fight. You can't go to Him and have yourself restored. Sin cuts that off from us. Cuts the nourishment of the Father that we need to go from our day-to-day wars and battles. You wonder why you're struggling in your lives. Sin does that to us. It makes us bald from Him. We have to return to Him daily for strength. We cannot return if there's sin in our hearts. Number three, sin becomes the delight of our heart. It diverts the heart from the spiritual frame that is required for communion with God. It lays hold on the affections, rendering the objects beloved and desirable, so expelling the love of the Father. Unconfessed sin becomes our delight, and we come to love it and rejoice in it. Samson fell in love with his sin and kept going back. Now, how many times she tried to tempt him? How many times she asked for the secret of his hair? He did not learn. It did not matter, for she loved his sin. He kept going back to the harlot. Our sin consumes our love. And if we give our love over to our sin, then who do we take our love from? God. Once we put that sin in front of Him, it becomes our idol. We begin to worship it. And we steal the love that belongs to the Father, because it becomes more important to us. Just like the harlot did for Samson. He kept returning to her every night. And we give our lives to our sin. It becomes the object of our desire. It's where we spend our time on, our money on. It's where we think about. We take our lives back from God. It should be His, and to give it over to the lust of our flesh. And we cherish it above God. We uphold it well above His esteem, because we love it more than we do Him. That's what Samson did. Verse 18 says, "And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart," Samson committed all his heart to her, to his sin, to his desire. That's what sin does. It takes everything that we have for God and takes it away from Him. Number four, sin becomes a meditation of our minds. Thoughts are the great gateway of the soul to bring up in provision to satisfy its affections. And if sin remains unconfessed in the hearts, it must ever be making provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. When sin goes untouched, it becomes the meditations of our minds, taking the place that should be filled with the Lord. Sin consumes our thoughts. We take sin, and once we have conceived that sin in our lives, it becomes our every desire. We think about it every hour, every second of the day. Either because we desire it even more, and we desire to go back and do that sin again, or the life of sin to live again, whatever it may be. For Samson, it was a harlot woman. For you, it could be something else. For me, it could be something else. But it consumes our minds. when we should be focused on the things of God, we're thinking about our desires of our flesh. And if we're not thinking about our desires of our flesh, then it turns the other way. We're remorseful. We're sorry about the sin. And it consumes us in an adverse way. We have pity for what we did. We think obscurely about it. We're sorrowful, but we don't quit. We wonder if we're going to get caught in it. We wonder what's going to happen because of it. But no matter how we think about it, we're always thinking about it. It has absolutely taken over every thought of our mind. And in so doing, we have no room to think on God. We have no room to think on His pleasures and His joys and His greatness and His salvation. Because the sin of our flesh that we have conceived is stuck inside of our heads. And we are locked on it and not locked on God. Samson proved that because again and again he went back to her. He never lost thought of her. And the more we think about our sins, the less we think about God and the less we want to do things for Him. And until we confess it, it controls our lives. The sin is like the grinding wheel that Samson was chained to. Around and around he had to go to grind the mill. And around in the thoughts in our minds, as sin keeps going and going. Never letting us go until we confess it and get rid of it. The baldness of sin dumbs us down so that we do the work of a beast. It was a donkey's place to turn the grinding wheel. But because of Samson's sins, he replaced the beast that day. Number five, sin hinders our spiritual walk. When we should be engaged in the worship of God, sin steals the time, attention, and affection that we need to maintain our communion with God. We spend time manifesting our sins to help it grow instead of spending time walking in the light of God to help us strengthen our walk. The baldness of sin caused Samson blindness. Verse 21, the first thing that they did was they put out his eyes and took his sight from him. Sin does the same thing to us. When we have sin in our lives, it takes away our sight of God. We lose that sight. Picture this. Samson, newly blind, trying to walk. What does he do? He stumbles. He falters. Why? Because it's new to him. What does sin make us do? Make us stumble. And make us falter. Makes us trip. Sin also makes us lose our fast pace for God. It takes away the zeal. A newly blind male cannot walk very fast because he's not used to it. He has to walk slowly. Take very cautious steps. Sin does that to our walk with God. We lose our gait that we once had, our fast-paced walk, our zeal for Him. It is taken away from us because we are now blind. Just as Samson was. He could no longer see and become stumbling. He no longer had strength to walk fast or courage to do so. He was unsure of himself, unsteady, unbalanced. This is what sin does in our lives. It takes away the power and the stability of God. The stable hand that's upon our shoulders to help us through the day is removed because of the baldness of sin. It was taken away from Samson and his eyes. They scourged him out with fire. And he could no longer see. He could no longer walk as he once walked. And what sin does, the same thing with us and God. We no longer walk as we once walked. The worst thing about being blind is it starves us of the light. Sin blocks the light of God. Gives us darkness. Samson was blinded that day. He no longer could see. It wasn't just a simple blind. Can you imagine the torches that they used to scald his eyes so his eyes were permanently shut? All he could see is darkness. He could no longer see the light that once he probably took for granted. With sin in our lives, do the same thing. It takes the light of God away from us. And we see darkness. Number six, the baldness of sin darkens the soul. It is a cloud, a thick cloud. It spreads itself over the face of the soul and intercepts all the beams of God's love and favor. It takes away all the sense of the privilege of our adoption. And if the soul begins to gather up thoughts of consolation, sin quickly scatters them. When we continually choose sin over godliness, sin destroys the comfort that the Holy Spirit seeks to provide. Our soul becomes darkened to His goodness and to the privilege of our adoption. Sin steals the joy of our hearts. Samson, once a strong man, feared nothing, went about his day walking in pride and in stride. Now he has no sight. Now he's chained and he's feathered. Now he's stuck to a grinding mill. I can picture him as he struggles to push against the mill, head held down. Half the man he used to be, with no strength. Sin causes us to be depressed and brings us to a dark place. Sin destroys the peace that we once had with inside of us with God. Sin oppresses us and holds us down. I've spoken to some that have been in sin so long that they no longer believe they're saved because it steals the joy of their salvation. Sin will make you confused if left unattended. It will bring you through such a dark world that it will make you think you're lost again. Sin puts us in a dark forest with no lights and turns us around. It puts us in a state of confusion where we can't get out. Sin takes us to a place of utter blackness. Sin's baldness that day caused Samson to lose his strength. He causes us to lose spiritual strength and comfort. Sin's weakness weakens the soul and deprives us of his strength. Sin becomes the delight of our hearts when God should be. Sin becomes the meditation of our minds. And we forget that God in all of His glory. Sin hinders our spiritual walk and causes us to stumble. The baldness of sin darkens our soul and we lose our direction and purpose. But there's hope. Sin takes everything that God wants from us for one thing. In verse 22, we find a wonderful hope. In verse 22, it says, "Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven." Sin may bald you and take away everything that you have from God. It may make you weak in His sight. It may take the power and the glory of God's hand upon you. Sin may steal your joy. Sin may take your prayer life. Sin may take you to your knees and put you in a dark place. I'm going to tell you one thing sin can't do. It can't kill the roots. It can't kill the roots of your salvation. The hair grew back because the roots were still good. The hair grew back because sin can't kill what Christ put inside you. Sin may scar you and leave you lame and halted. Sin may shackle you with brass feathers to a grinding mill. But sin cannot kill the roots. Salvation is forever, and there's nothing that can take it away from you. Because you can't kill the roots of the truth. We see that Samson's hair started to grow. And from reading the story, we know that he had to repent. Because we know that Samson asked a young boy to put his hands on two pillars. And then he prayed to God, "Remember me." And we know from a verse in Psalm 66 that God doesn't hear us if we have iniquity in our hearts. So sometime between the grinding mill and that day of being made fun of, Samson repented because God answered Samson's prayer. God honored him one last time. Samson placed his hands upon the pillars and it says he leaned in and brought the house down. He cried, "Oh Lord God, remember me." And he was heard. God loves you just the same. He loves each and every one of us just like He loves Samson. And all we have to do is just do what Samson did, is repent of our sins and cry out, Lord God, remember me. God has never forgot us, one of His children. God has never forgot a saved soul. God has never left one behind, and He never will. He remembers each and every one of us. He knows our names. He has a special name for us. I don't know what it is, but one day in heaven we shall know. He remembers you. But He can't help you until you repent and turn back to Him. The baldness of sin takes away everything except our salvation. And praise God for that. But He's waiting for us to repent so that He can give us back our strength. That He can give us back our open communication to Him. That He can give us back the restored of our glory every morning. That we can go to Him and mercy is renewed. He's waiting for us to repent so He can dump down the blessings from on high. But He can't do that until we turn around and ask forgiveness. Samson would still have been tied to that grinding mill. He would not have repented that day. But because he repented and he cried out to God, remember me, God heard his prayer. And we know that he's in heaven now from Hebrews, in the Hall of Heroes. Is there something in your life that has cut the umbilical cord to God? Is there something that's holding back the powers and the blessings from God upon you? Sin may scar you, but if you repent, your hair will grow back. And the grace of God will come upon you again. God's waiting for each and every one of us to turn back to Him and cry out, remember me. Let's stand. Father God, we love you and we thank you for giving us examples in the Bible to give us understanding why some days you don't answer us. Why some days it's more harder than others. Why some days we just don't understand your word like we used to. Lord, I pray that you would search each and every one of us tonight. To be any unclean thing, Lord, is hindering your work and your power in our life. Chasten us and help us get rid of it. Help us, Father God, as Samson did, to repent and to cry out to you to remember us. Lord, we cannot go through life without your glory, without your hand upon us. Lord, bless this altar time. If there be a lost one, we pray for that one's salvation. Have your way and your will. In Christ's name we pray. Things seem harder than they used to. Seem like you're struggling more and more. Ask God why. Ask God to show you the hearts of your heart. David even had to pray forgiveness for the secret sins of his heart to make sure that he was clean. Ask God to search you. Restore in you His good graces, His power and His might. It's where all of our strength comes from. It's not of ourselves, for there's nothing that we can do. It all comes from Him and Him alone. And we need Him. Lord, we need you. For it's in His power and in His might that we win our daily battles. It's in His power and His might we could fight against the principalities in the darkness of the air. We cannot do it alone. But He can't help you if there's something hidden in your life that you're not confessing. Are you concentrated to God? Are you completely sold out to Him? How about your children? Are you dedicated them to God to raise them? Well, amen. Prayer request. Yes, ma'am.